we're talking about souls as kind of an infinite consciousness. And maybe all souls are connected. As a matter of fact, the title of this book that we're talking, one of the books, Same Soul, Many Bodies, the newest one, the one that goes into the future, and where I have cases like Patrick's, this actually comes from a quote from a Roman philosopher named Plotinus. And it has a double meaning. So for me, same soul, many bodies meant, well, the same soul or consciousness, that part of us which exists after the death of the physical body and keeps going on, gets reborn into a new body, a baby's body. That's past lives and reincarnation and future lives. But Plotinus meant, well, maybe there's one and the same soul in all of our bodies. Maybe we're all connected. Maybe there's an energy, a consciousness that connects all of us, and that this illusion of separateness is not real. It's an illusion. Well, that's what the ancient Buddhists are writing about in the mystical tradition of the religions. That's what the physicists are talking about. So for me, it means that we don't die, that our consciousness, we go on after the death of the physical body, experiencing on the other side. And you know, we talked about a little bit out-of-body experiences, people with near-death experiences, experiencing the same kinds of phenomena. The same thing. We float out of the body and realize we're not our bodies. We go on. And this is what it means to me, George, that there is no death, that there is really a consciousness that we are just beginning to comprehend, that there is energy and universe and consciousness way beyond what our conscious mind comprehends at the moment. I picked up the newspaper today and I saw that some people were confirming the existence of black matter.
Dark matter, yeah.
Dark matter, yeah. Dark matter.
Yep.
And
they're beginning to, through gravitation, they're beginning to realize that it's out there, even though they can't see it.
Exactly, and dark energy, and things that we have trouble comprehending. We don't even know our own nature, that of the soul. And here are all these other... It's fascinating to me, and it means don't get depressed. We're immortal. We're eternal. Our consciousness is, and we have to stop acting like we're just our bodies, and we act like a primitive people. So we're still violent and making wars and doing all this when our future, our present, is so much beyond what our present consciousness can comprehend.
Well, Brian, if someone, let's say, was a murderer in a past life, does he become the victim of a murder in, let's say, this life?
It can work that way, but not necessarily. It may not be the very next life, because we have many lessons to work on. But that's the concept of karma that we're talking about now. That's not a religious concept. That just, it means, of course, what you sow, that's what you reap, and it is in all the religions. But it's really a sense of justice. You don't escape that. So if you murdered in a past life, it doesn't mean you're going to get murdered. Maybe a relative or a loved one will get murdered and you'll feel the pain of it. But it doesn't even have to happen, because if you, through some sort of transformation or inspiration or revelation or whatever, realize how useless and futile violence is, how bad it is, and you've learned the lesson, then you don't have to suffer it. You don't have to go through it, because you've learned. And it's not for punishment, this concept of karma. It's not about punishment. It's only about learning. So once you learn, then it drops away. So if you killed someone in a past life, but now you know, for in whatever way you know, that this is wrong and that we're supposed to be compassionate and nonviolent, then it does not have to happen to you.
What can we do, Brian, to get souls that are here now, that are in you and in me, what can we do to get them so enlightened that we don't have to just worry about past life regression to reach perfection, that is worked on now?
Well, I think we're moving in that direction, but it seems very slow, and there are a lot of third graders. It's like we're in a one-room classroom, and we've got a lot of third graders in there kind of disrupting it all. But you take a look at what I'm doing. I'm working with patients one at a time and sometimes in group. What you're doing, you're opening minds all over the planet. I mean, I don't know how many millions and millions of people your show reaches.
It keeps changing. It keeps going up, Brian.
It's going up, and it's and you don't even know, George, when that person who's listened to the show communicates and tells someone who hasn't listened to it, that it's almost like throwing a stone into a pond, the rippling effect that your show has or others like it have in opening minds. It's like an old story someone told me about a person on a beach watching someone picking up starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. But there were thousands and thousands of starfish. So this confused the person watching. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean. They're stranded on the beach and they'll die." And the person said, "But there are millions of starfish. You cannot make a difference." And the person throwing them back held out his hand where he was holding a starfish, and he said, "It makes a big difference to him."
Yeah.
We can just work one at a time or millions at a time as you're doing, but that's how it works. And the spiritual principle, George, is don't worry about the results. Just do the right thing, do the compassionate thing. The results will take care of themselves.
In a regression, has anybody ever talked about being an animal before?
An insect
or anything like that?
It comes up rarely. It seems like once a human, always a human. But sometimes people remember animals as like a metaphor. Like they may have remember being a lion, but it's really a message to be courageous. There's some decision that's going to take courage. And usually I see it in that context.